Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time. Covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, flying solo this week. My hope is that Pastor Ken Keltner will be back in studio with me next week. I'm excited about today's show. Had a chance to talk to our guest for a while, a couple of times this week, in fact, and he is Rocky Coyle. Former pro baseball player, also works with UPI, and got a chance to meet Rocky through Tom Roy, so I just want to thank Tom Roy. Rocky, how you doing today? Everything going okay in North Carolina?
Well, you know how it is here, not like where you guys are. We get a little dusting, and they clear the shelves, and you know, I'm over here right now. Nobody else is on the road. I'm pulled over and nice and quiet here.
Yeah, you guys got how much, like a foot of snow? Probably not, right? Maybe an inch?
No, maybe. We got an inch, you know. Would they have decent? I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, so it's better than Phoenix, but still, you know, they pre-did the roads and they did all that, but, you know, people in the South, they go buy all the bread and milk, and then they just sit until it all melts, you know?
You know what? Not a bad way to go. They're talking that it's going to be like 25 below zero soon, like either tonight, overnight, or sometime. But they're talking 30 in the 30s by Sunday when this is going to air. And guys are talking about going out and playing golf. You'll see guys walking around without their shirt on. 30 degrees. We're a tough breed here in Wisconsin.
You should be. I grew up in Phoenix, and I didn't see snow until I was 24. I was in the outfield playing in Reno, and it started snowing, and Mitch Williams was on the mound for Reno, and he didn't throw strikes anyway. So it was the first time the outfielder was from L.A., Los Angeles. I'm from Phoenix, and the left fielder was from Ohio. And the center fielder and I are looking at each other, looking up, and, wow, snow. The guy from Ohio is going, are you guys crazy, or what in the world are you guys looking at? I said, we've never seen snowfall. That was the first time before I ever saw snowfall.
Man, that's awesome. Man, you're right. Mitch Williams didn't throw strikes very well, did he?
Well, can you imagine hitting? The snow was blowing sideways, and we were trying to hit off him when he was, you know, 19 or 20.
Oh, man.
He couldn't throw strikes in the big leagues, let alone in Reno when it was 30 degrees, you know. It was pretty hair-raising. I didn't know who he was then, but I found out fast.
Hey, we are talking to Rocky Coyle, and I went and looked at his Twitter account. My family... hashtag for life mentoring and speaking, playing with my daughters and granddaughters is what he's all about. And we're going to talk a lot about some of the things that are going on in Rocky's life. I have to tell you, there are similarities between Rocky and I. Grandfathers, we love our kids, we love our grandkids. But Rocky was led to do some things that I have to tell you, I'm hoping the Lord does not leave me in that direction. I'm not sure I can handle what he's going through right now, which is this adoption. And I love the pictures, Rocky. You've got a beautiful family. And we're going to talk a lot about these five girls that you've adopted and possibly a sixth coming up. And we're also going to be talking about the ABBA Fund, which is Adoption Assistance for Christian Families. And as we talk about that throughout the show, go on abbafund.org. If you're feeling led, there's a way that you can donate for their team fund. There's some things on that website that I didn't know about until I got a chance to talk to Rocky. And I went on that website, and there's some really interesting stories, things that they do through the ABBA Fund that you may have some interest in, again, helping out or getting involved in one way or the other. Hey, Rocky, let's start a little bit. You talked about growing up in Arizona. Did you go to grade school and high school and everything right in Arizona, in Phoenix, or where?
Yeah. I was born and raised in Phoenix. I'm one of the few natives. I was born there, and I grew up in. I have a family of five. My dad played college basketball at the University of Arizona. I got his athletic ability, but not his height. You know, but that was all right. But I got my mom's height. But when I started playing ball, I started playing in Sandlot, in the neighborhood I grew up in Phoenix. There was a Sandlot like the movie. You know, all my buddies that I grew up with, they said, "You ever see that movie Sandlot?" And I said, "Yeah, that's the field we grew up on." And I was the ninth boy born into that neighborhood. And I was the littlest one. They called me Little Rocky. My birth name is Rock, R-O-C-K. My dad named me Rock. And so I started, that's how I started playing ball, was in Sandlot. So I was in diapers pretty much, they said. And when the ball would get hit out to me, I just roll it in. And then, you know, out of my neighborhood, I think three guys played college and a couple played pro. So they were some good players, you know, where I grew up. So by the time, that's where it all started for me. My dad always took time for us. And, you know, he was a great dad. And my foundation was there. And, you know, as far as sports goes, my dad was a coach. And you know, he always took time. He always had time for us. And really, Mike, where the foundation came is when I started playing Little League. My family, we were not believers at the time, but I grew up, and my dad was always a great dad, which a lot of kids don't have nowadays, but he always took time for us. So by the time I played my first year of Little League when I was eight, I was already a seasoned veteran. So the whole season, everybody, move back, Rocky's up, you know, and I hit home runs, never get me out. So the last game, my dad would never sit with parents. He always stood down the right field line. The reason I tell this story is because any dads that are out there, this is you know, putting a blessing on your son's life at an early age is huge for his confidence and who he is. And my dad, you know, I'm 57 and my dad's still alive, but I remember what happened. I'm playing my Little League game, last game of the season. I'm up to bat and I foul tipped it with two strikes in the catcher's glove. And for the first time I struck out, with many more after that. But when I did, they mobbed the pitcher that struck me out. "We got Rocky out." And they mobbed him, and so I didn't think it was any big deal. Okay, great, he got me out. And I start walking back to the dugout, and my own teammates were cheering. And the parents of my teammates, like, you know, "Hey, we're finally glad that kid got out." And I was confused because I was like, I'm 8 years old. And so I did what every 8-year-old does when he's confused. I started crying on the field. I remember my dad, he never sat with parents. He stood way down the left field line. He watched the whole thing. So I rode my bike home, and I felt like I had failed my dad. And I was in my bedroom, and my dad came in there, and he sat next to me, and he lifted me up. He always made me look at him in the eyes. I hated that in high school, obviously, but he always made me look him in the eyes, because the eye is the window to the soul. And he asked me a question, and I've never forgot this, and it was my foundation. He said, "What are you crying about, son?" And I said, "Dad, I'm sorry I failed you. You know, I'm so sorry." And he lifted my head up to his face, and he said, Rock Joseph, let me tell you something before you start this thing called life. I don't care if you get four hits in a game. I don't care if you're 0 for 4. I don't care if you're an All-American." He goes, "I don't even care if you play pro ball one day. You listen to me and don't ever forget this." He said, "I love you because you're my son. And the only thing I ever ask, son, is that you give 100% and be the best you can be. And that's the only thing. You don't ever have to earn my love." And when my dad did that to me, I'm telling you, Mike, I never feared walking on a ball field. You know, and I played, I was a three-sport letterman in high school, basketball, baseball, and football. And, you know, the funny thing was, I went on to become an All-American in high school and in college, and then I did play pro ball. But it was interesting how the foundation of that was on my dad, you know. And later on, through Fellowship of Christian Athletes, when I was 18, he came to me one more time, and he said, "Rock, something happened to me today that's the greatest thing ever." I thought, "What, you win the lottery?" Or,
right.
You know, and he told me that he, through Fellowship of Christian Athletes, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he challenged me if I died that day, if I knew where I'd go. And I, in my pride, I said, well, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good guy. And that was the foundation. He shared the Romans road with me, that pointed out, that I was a sinner, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That was the foundation. So my dad came to me another time in my life like he did when I was a little boy. And this time he brought the greatest gift he could possibly give me. And, so I rejected it when he first talked to me. And I was playing basketball, and I could really jump high at 5'7". I had a great vertical jump, and I could grab the rim, and I went up really high, and I got flipped over. I broke my hand, and when I went to the doctor's office, they told me that that I might not ever play sports again because I shattered my hand. And it was my senior year, which, was the greatest year I was supposed to have, that's when all the gospel that my dad had shared with me, I realized that I was susceptible to the things of this world. And I didn't know how to read a Bible. I didn't know how to pray. And I just said, Lord Jesus, if you're real, like it happened to my dad, would you please change my life? And I'm going to tell you something, Mike, my life has never been the same. He transformed. It was the most powerful thing that's ever happened. Lights didn't go, blinking, and
right.
There weren't fires, but there was a transformation happened in my heart, and I've never looked back, and I've never compromised, in my faith since, right. And that was when I was years old.
Man, we are talking. That's awesome. I get goosebumps on my arm. He is Rocky Coyle. Former professional baseball player, also works with UPI and the guys over, Tom Roy and the guys at UPI, they do a great job. Hey, Rocky, before we get to a break, I did some research on you, and I found Hamilton High School's all-time baseball lineup. And number two in that all-time greatest baseball lineup, number two in there is Rocky Coyle. I'm going to read what it says about you as a player. He possessed speed and power, driving in runs, coming up clutch. He went on to play at Mesa Community College, University of Arizona, played in the Oakland A's, Toronto Blue Jays organization. He was also a pretty good darn football player on a state championship team. So you talk about a multi-sport athlete, and we may talk more about that, Rocky. It's my 36th year coaching basketball, mostly at the high school level. And few and fewer kids are playing multiple sports. And I love the fact that you were a three-sport athlete. But they talk about the greatest. And some of these guys on this sheet, man, these are guys that all played, played for the Colorado Rockies or the Cincinnati Reds. And this is an awfully good lineup that this high school could put together. But number two, left fielder Rocky Coyle. Hey, we're going to get to a quick break. Other side of the break, we'll continue to talk with Rocky. I'm going to ask him some questions about walking worthy when he was playing minor league baseball. I know that's a difficult place to continue to walk worthy, but we'll get some answers from him on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week. Pastor Ken Keltner hopefully will be back in studio next week. Looking forward to seeing him. Our special guest, Rocky Coyle, former pro baseball player. In fact, Rocky, I was looking at your numbers as, single, double, triple-A baseball. Man, you hit the ball everywhere you played.
Yep, I was a career 312 hitter, and it was one of those things that my dad said when I was born out of the womb I could hit. I could. There's something about that God gave me ability to always be able to hit the ball. In high school and you hit like 560, and in college I was 380, right up there, and then pro ball same thing. So I just loved to swing the bat, man. and play defense too. I had good wheels, so I was very blessed with that.
Hey, Rocky, why do you think you didn't take that big step to go into major leagues?
Well, what happened was, you know, I think that it was, I look back and it wasn't because I didn't put the numbers up. You know, I just believe it was God's hand on my life because I didn't really, you know, I was a baseball guy. That's the only thing I knew. But then when I was in Triple, when I finally made it up to Triple A, that after the season was over, I had a really good year in Double A again. And I kept, when I was with the A's, it's kind of a long story, but I really believe God's hand was on my life. Then he had a calling on my life to go into ministry, but I didn't really know what that meant. Nobody had really discipled me. And, you know, everywhere I'd go, every town, people go, hey, could you come share your faith at this church? And I started doing it. And then I had a friend of mine who was in Alabama at an inner city church in Alabama. And he said, why don't you pray about leaving baseball and coming helping me at this small church? And I was laughing. I go, yeah, right. Because all I knew how to do was play baseball. But God started working in my heart about a year. And in spring training in 88, I walked in into the Blue Jays front office. And I said, you know, I feel like, you know, that God's calling me into ministry, and I just disappeared. You know, a lot of people look at my stats, they go, you were there, and all of a sudden, where were you, you know? So, but that's how it really started, and there was a long process. We don't have the time to talk about it, but it was God was really working in my heart, which I didn't completely understand. And I look back now, and I could see that he was kind of blocking me from moving on to those other things because it was, you know, like, all these things happen in my life. Like one player personnel director, his name was Carl. In Huntsville in 85, I hit a home run to win the Southern League Championship and led the team in hit in the second. That was with Canseco and that group of the A's. And we won the Southern League Championship. I hit a home run to win the championship. And so the season ended. They said, you're going to Tacoma. The last day of spring training, they sent me back down to Huntsville. And, you know, I never could understand all these years. And the guy that was the player personnel director, he gave his life to Christ, a guy named Don Gordon, who used to be with UPI too.
Yep, he's been a guest on the show. He was a great guest.
Yeah, and so he led this guy to Christ. The guy called me and asked for my forgiveness because that year – Huntsville, I was a favorite, a fan favorite. They wanted to keep the contract with Huntsville. And so because I was a popular player, they put me back there and, you know, instead of, you know, moving on. Oh. And I always wondered what happened, but, you know, but I know God was the one directing that because I ended up, you know, doing a lot. That's where I met that guy that I later went into ministry with, but I knew something was up. So there was a lot of things like that happened, but you know, I just know that God was in control of my life, and after in 88, I went back to school and was ordained in 91 and started working in the inner city in Alabama with kids in the project, and that's really kind of how everything started. I remember watching the World Series, you know, and I was emptying garbage cans in the inner city, and the enemy's like, look at that, you could have been doing, because the A's won it, and then the Blue Jays won too.
Oh, man.
And all those guys, my teammates, and Satan was going, look at, you're a failure, and people to this day, the enemy tries to come up to me and people come up and say, hey, you really didn't make it. And I was like, you know, and you just kind of smile and you go, you know, I got a promotion really is what I got. But, you know, the enemy always makes you feel like you're a failure. But, you know, I can't even count how many kids I've had a chance to tell the good news of Jesus Christ, you know, and over the years.
He is Rocky Coyle. Again, he is a former pro baseball player, also works with UPI. And we're going to get into what's going on in his life soon. A couple of things before we do that. I made a mistake the first segment. He didn't go to Hamilton High School in Arizona. He went to Coronado High School. So Coronado's all-time greatest baseball lineup card, he's number two on there. And I love the fact possessed speed, power, driving, and runs. But as a coach, I like the line coming up clutch. Guy that can do when the lights get a little bit brighter and you know what, and your hands start getting a little sweaty. He's a guy that obviously in his day could hit the ball and field it. And he had some great opportunities to minister to people throughout single and double and triple A. Rocky, I like to ask guys that played, especially in minor league baseball, you know, you look at some of the movies like Bull Durham and you see that, you know, minor league baseball, there's a lot of temptation. Is that a difficult place for a guy that wants to continue to walk worthy and certainly serve Jesus Christ? That's a tough place for them to be, I would think.
Yes, I gave my card to the Lord when I was 18, so that was starting college. So from that point on, it is a tough place. But if you're sold out to the Lord, when I followed Christ, I wasn't playing. You know, I didn't grow up playing in church. It was something that was real to me. Jesus Christ was real. He transformed my life. I look at what he did on the cross, and it brings tears to my eyes even to this day, that he looked out and he said, "Father, forgive them." And when I saw that, it was serious to me. So one of the things that helped me on the road was always to have good accountability. You know, I didn't trust my own flesh, you know. And so I had good guys. We had things like UPI and baseball chapel. And I would find guys on the team, even if there wasn't believers, guys that had similar morals than I did. And I would hang out with them. And then we started doing Bible studies on the road. We started, you know, going against it. We would see guys from other teams who loved the Lord. And we always had a thing we would do. We point to our eye, then we point to our heart, and then we would point at the guy. I love you, and I got your back, even from another team. So we saw revival happening. We were on the road. We were baptizing guys in the swimming pool. We were doing Bible studies. The Blue Jays actually were angry at us because we had so many guys coming to the Bible study. Said, "You got to let these guys party." And so, you know, they wanted them to party and live hard like ball players are supposed to. And we were asking for permission to use the swimming pool to baptize guys, you know. And we were young, so we didn't even know you were supposed to have pastors to do it. But, you know, there wasn't any pastors on the road, so we were already, you know, we would lead guys to Christ. We'd have prayer meetings at night that went late. Guys were confessing their sins to one another, things they struggled with, so we would hold each other accountable. So it could go that way. You know, when you're alone on the road, there's a lot of temptation, but when you have accountability and, you know, you're in the Word and you're seeking the Lord, the kingdom first, you know, and I had an awesome wife who was, you know, who was there for me throughout all of it too. And she's still to this day, 36 years, we've been together.
Man, that's awesome. We, on this show, and I love, I wish Pastor Ken was here. He'd love the stories about the pool and wherever he is. He was on a plane and, just recently, and he sent me a quick text. He met a young man that was a Division II college basketball player who has accepted Jesus Christ 2 years ago and is going to be perfect for Faith in the Zone. And it was good. We had A.J. Ellis, who was a catcher for the Dodgers at that time. He actually married a girl from Milwaukee. He comes north for the winter. He said, "Look, wow. I'm the only guy that comes north for the winter." And he was telling the story. He was catching, and the catcher for the Giants, Buster Posey, got in the batter's box, and they had done baseball chapel prior to this game. And A.J. Ellis looked up, and he said, "Hey, Buster, how good was chapel today? Man, can you believe Book of Romans, how strong that is?" And Buster called timeout and got out. He said, "A.J., you know, come on. You know, I'm getting ready to hit against Clayton Kershaw." And A.J. Ellis is like, "Yeah, but can you, you know, just think about what he talked about in the Book of Romans, how strong this was." And Buster guy, he said, why are you doing this? And I thought, you know what, here's two Christians talking smack right there. You know, he's right. Trying to get him off his game to talk about the Book of Romans. Hey, when you were in minor league baseball, Rocky, easier then for you to walk worthy while you were in the locker room or outside of the locker room?
Oh, I felt it was a great challenge inside the locker room. I felt like if the Spirit of God, God's greater is he than is in us and he's in the world. So we felt, you know, I didn't sit there and thump guys over the head. I tried to love them and tried to listen and be there for them. And I can remember this one guy, he was one of the best players. He made fun of me every day in the locker room, and he'd make fun of the way I laughed. And, you know, and every day, you know, my old days, I probably wouldn't have wanted to fight him, you know, because I'm an Irish guy. You know, we learned how to box early.
Yep.
And kept loving him and kept my testimony. And then one day about 3 o'clock in the morning, knock on my door, and he's standing there and he's crying. And, you know, in the world, I would have said, "What are you doing here crying, man? You've been on my case for a month, you know."
You bet.
But he was struggling with drugs, and he was struggling in his life and his morals, and he just said, "I need help," and I didn't know where else to go. And I said, "Come on in, man." I hugged him, and he ended up praying and receiving Christ that night, and he still walks with the Lord to this day. And, you know, the same with a bat boy. You know, I got a text recently, a bat boy from 30 years ago who was trying to cuss with the other pitchers and be cool. And when he had me, he tried to do it, and I asked him, I said, "You know, I said, do you love the Lord?" And he said, "Well, yeah." And I said, "Well," and then he ended up, I prayed with him in the bullpen, and he gave his life to Christ. And 35 years later, he texts me and said he's an elder in his church and he's been serving the Lord. So you don't even know half the time, you know, what's going on. But when you stand for Christ and you do it in love like Jesus did, and you look at people and they sense the Spirit of God. They sense the love of Christ, because it's not you. It's the love of Christ. It's the power of God in you. And that's what draws people, because people are looking for answers. They're looking for peace. They're looking for, you know, this isn't satisfying. And when they look at you and they see in your eyes, there's something greater. And that's, God's real, man. He's a powerful God.
Yes, he is. He is Rocky Coyle, and we are discussing a number of things. And I promise, I keep teasing this, but in the third segment, we're going to talk about some of the things that Rocky and his wife are doing now. That I just fall down and praise him for doing this. They've adopted five, and possibly they're looking at maybe a sixth. A girl, and he's a grandfather. He's like me, and they decided the Lord was leading them to do this, some adoptions, and when you read the story, and I'll tell you where to read it, really incredible. Hey, Rocky, let's get to a quick break. Other side of the break, that's what we'll talk about, the Coyle family adoption, and boy, I'm looking at a picture, and first of all, y'all kicked your coverage, pal. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. Kids came to me and said, "Hey, your wife is beautiful. How did you ever get here?" Hey, man, I could hit.
That's it. Hey, trust me, I'm the president of that organization, but you come on in. There's room for you, because looking at the – I get asked that all the time. My wife and I went to high school together. She asked me out like the day after we graduated from high school. She doesn't remember it exactly the way that I do, but we've been together ever since. And yeah. I still get that. People look and go, are you kidding me? How'd this happen? My mom still questions it. Hey, we'll get to a break again. He is Rocky Coyle, and he's a former pro baseball player, works with UPI with Tom Roy. Want to thank Tom Roy for the introduction to Rocky Coyle. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brain Balance of Mequon. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, flying solo this week. Pastor Ken Keltner hopefully will be back in studio next week with me. My special guest is Rocky Coyle, former pro baseball player. He works with UPI as well. Rocky, what else is some of the things you're doing? You give a lot of baseball lessons right now?
Yes, I teach less. That's what I do full-time. I was in ministry for 25 years, but I'm always in ministry. But we also have been focusing on adopting little girls, little kids from overseas. And so I've been focusing on, I do hitting lessons. I do that full time. I also have a nonprofit, For Life, the number four, the word life, inc.org. And we do camps for kids, inner city. We do that, and I do the hitting. And then I still speak at churches and preach, you know, when I can. But mainly I've been focusing on raising these little girls that my wife and I, that God miraculously has brought into our life.
Hey, can we talk about that? You guys were set. You had two grown children, and you were a grandfather. And you know, the article that I read, which is on, it is www.abbafund.org, is where you need to read this article. Picture of Rocky and his kids and wife and three of these girls. So I think it's an older picture, but talked about after prayer, they entered into the adoption world, and the Lord was leading you guys to adopt some kids from different countries. And, you know, the story is incredible. Now you have, how old are the girls?
They're 15, 13, 12, 12, 12. And we're going to get to 11. And really, Mike, how it all started, it's a miracle. Debbie and I were, you know, in that time of our life where we were going antiquing together. We were visiting our grandkids. My wife was working at Hallmark just to pick up some, you know, and she was a PE teacher, you know, if she wanted to be. And one day a lady came in that she knew, and the lady had a little child from, you know, that was Spanish, and my wife's like, she's not Spanish. Then she told her about it, and really the Lord said, because Debbie was looking to see what was next in our lives, and the Lord said, listen carefully, you know, subtly in her heart. And that's where it all started, and she came to me. Debbie's the type of person that takes her years to for God to move, and for me it's like, hey, you know, I'm ready to go. But, you know, that day I said, it's funny, Debbie, the Lord was just talking to me about adoption, but I thought there's no way that she will ever adopt it. We were almost 50 at that point. And so, you know, we looked at Guatemala, and it closed, and then my daughter went to NC State, and she said, what about India? So we decided, okay, well, let's go check it out. My wife came to me, and there's a little girl who had been burned and left to die on the side of the road when she was 4 years old, and she was like 13, 14 pounds. And I saw a picture of her, and that's where it started. It took us a long time, almost 2.5 years, fighting through the bureaucracy. We finally flew there. I'm going to tell you something, Mike, and I didn't even want to go to India. I said, I don't want to fly all the way to India. You know, your flesh, you know, these guys were brave, you know. But I was like, why can't we do it here? But the Lord, you know, had her. I saw her picture one day, and I was driving down the road in my truck. And the Lord, I just started weeping. I pulled over, and her picture was up on the top of my truck.
Oh,
and
man.
I said to the Lord, and I was weeping on the side of the road. And I said, Lord, if she needs a daddy, I said, I'll be her dad.
Man.
And so, you know, I flew there, and I was in it was probably the poorest place I'd ever been. My wife and I are trucked through these, you know, places we shouldn't even hardly be, probably. And we came across this little orphanage, and all the kids, there's 154 children, no shoes, scabies, lice. And this little girl walked up to me, and she came up to me. And here I was, a former ball player, and I'd been a minister. And she walked up to me, and I didn't hear the Lord audibly, but I heard him in my heart. He said, this is my kingdom. This is where my heart is. It's the least. And then when I looked at her, he said, this was you, Rocky, before you knew me. You were scarred and broken, and you had no hope. And that's when I realized I was in the, you know, we think we're in church and presence of God, but he's where the least are. And that's where God started it. And, you know, we visited her that one time, and we had to make two visits because there's a law in that area of India. So we stood before the judge, and we were trying to get her in that first visit. And the judge said, why are these people here? Why would they come here? What's with this little girl? And why would they want her? And how come nobody here adopted her? And finally, they took her shirt off in the church, in the courtroom, and they showed her scars. And she was ashamed. She was crying. And then the judge looked at her and said, I see why nobody would want you.
Oh, my goodness.
And I looked up at the judge, and I was thinking to myself, how long do I have to be in jail if I go after the judge?
Being an Irish guy, you wouldn't mind taking a swing at him.
So I just looked at the judge, and I picked her up in my arms, and I said, I want her.
Oh.
I want her. And so that's how it started. And so then, you know, God started moving in my heart. Debbie's in my heart, and we ended up, you know, they said it would be 6 weeks to go back and get her. It ended up being 6 months, and we finally got her through a lot of warfare. There's a lot to the story, and then God started working in our heart, and then we went back to get another little girl named Savita. Her mom told her to sit down in town, and when she was three, and never came back to get her, and she wandered for 2 days. And then, you know, she had her throat cut in an orphanage, and she had been through a lot. And so we got her, and she's beautiful. She's going to be a doctor one day. And then Leah is gorgeous. They said she would never be able to function, and she's just the most beautiful little girl. And if you look at her in the picture, you'd never know. And then we couldn't go to India anymore, so we went to China to an orphanage there where nobody has ever adopted kids out of. And we went in and got a little girl we call her Chi-Chi. And then we got Abigail, and then we got Allison.
Man.
And Allison was a girl that we had seen. We saw him each time we went. And there's a lot to the story, but the bottom line is every time we would go, we would see another one, and they weren't in the registry because they said they're stupid, they won't amount to anything. We didn't even put them in the thing, in the system, because nobody would want them. And so, you know, and we got all these girls, Chi-Chi, had been a baby wrapped in a blanket left in the steps because her hands were deformed. And then Abigail was wrapped and left at a train station with her umbilical cord still attached. And then Allison, she has a wine stain on her face, but she's beautiful. She was older. And we got back home after the other two we had done, we were trying to tell people, you got to adopt this little girl. We were done at four. And then one of the little girls at the, when Chi-Chi and Alice Abigail said, hey, Daddy, she used to protect us and she would hide food and give us food when we had no food.
Oh.
And Deb and I looked at each other and we said, we got to go back and get her. And so we found out she was turning 14. And when they turned 14, you can't adopt them. We only had 6 months to get her. And, you know, it's a lot of money to raise, but God miraculously did it, to, you know, just to cut it short. But we made it with 3 days to spare before her 14th birthday and rescued her. And that's how we got the five. And just recently we found out that there's a little girl in India whose mom and dad died 6 years ago, and she's about ready to age out. And our agency came to us and said they need a bunch of girls. She needs girls around her. So we're going to go back one more time, God willing. And, you know, the ABBA page is where people can, you know, tax deductible. They can donate on our site, too, there, too, if anybody feels led to do that.
You know, again, we are talking to Rocky Coyle about what's going on, the adoptions that he is him and his wife have done. And Rocky, we're a couple of Irish guys. I got tears coming down my cheek because what a story this is. The Lord has led you to do great work. And I can't wait for people to hear, you know, this story. It really is incredible.
And it needs to be told that this is the Lord. You know, this isn't Rocky and Debbie. This whole thing has transformed my life and I've been blessed. You know, people worry, like I hear people say, man, how could you do that? I'm going to tell you something. Every day I wake up, like one of my little girls, I said, there's going to be five of you. Leah, the first one who had nothing. There's going to be five of you in one bathroom. And she just smiled and she said, oh, Daddy. She goes, I never had a bathroom. I love my bathroom.
Five is willing to share that sure. Rocky, your biological children are very comfortable, and obviously this is a big family now, man.
Yeah, it's amazing. I used to say, when people come up to me and say, how many children do you have? And I'd go, two. And now they go, how many kids do you have? And I go, seven. I always wanted, I'm an Irishman, I always wanted a big family. And I thought, well, hey, I went the hard seven, you know, I went the hard way, you know, I went a hard seven to get it, but we did it. But hey, God, it's a miracle, all of it, because, you know, it's a lot of money to raise. And you know what? We were debt free. You know, God, anybody who's wanting to adopt, you don't ever let the money be an obstacle. If God's calling you, if God's in it, we win it. And if he's in it, the peace of God, you know, even through the toughest times, the peace of God, when you're in his will, and when he looks at adoption, little children and whatever, orphans and widows, there's a peace. There's a power of God when you're in his will that is amazing. And it's a powerful thing. And I'm very humbled, you know, and, you know, we're not heroes. Jesus is the hero because it was him. And he's the one that gets glorified through all this, through my career and through these things. Because I know, and when I look at these things, because when I first went to adopt, you know, it looked unbelievable. And I remember we had to pay $10,000 for the first thing. And I had saved, like Dave Ramsey says, you know, I had saved up $10,000. And the day before I was supposed to pay it, my air conditioner went out. And so I said, went out in the backyard. I go, Lord, you want me to do this? And now I got it. It's going to cost me $10,000. It's the middle of the summer. And it's just like, hey, trust me. And a buddy of mine's a builder. And this guy who's an air conditioning guy came over and he looked at it. He said, yeah, it's shot. He goes, maybe I could rig it up this weekend. And so, you know, I said, I have a baseball camp. Just go ahead and look at it. Well, I got back from the camp that day. And I had a new air conditioning unit on my house, and I told him, I said, you didn't understand. I didn't want you to put it in. And the guy said, I've been a Christian a month. He goes, I never give anything away. And he goes, and that night, I usually sleep so good. And he said, that night I went to bed, and I couldn't sleep. And I felt like the Lord was telling me to give you an air conditioner. He goes, I don't give my mother or my grandmother. And he said, and he had an air conditioning unit. He had taken off another house, and the Lord was telling him, hey, you have that air conditioning unit you're going to make money off. I want you to give it to this guy. He did all the labor, hooked it up, gave us a new air conditioner, did not charge me a dime, and I went down and paid that money the next day to to get that first little girl started off, to get started off in the process.
He is...
People ask me, how do I know God's real?
Oh.
And I said, you know what? You by faith step out, and you'll see the glory of God. You'll see the power of God like you've never seen.
It's abbafund.org, A-B-B-A. ABBA, abbafund.org. And you know what? Go to the Coyle Family Adoption. There's a way to donate for these guys. There's a way to donate to this fund. With ABBA does great work. It's Adoption Assistance for Christian Families. And the more I read on it, the more I looked it up, the information that I looked at today, really impressed with the work that they do. We've got to get to a quick break. We've just got a very short fourth segment, and I'm going to ask you, Rocky, very quickly, For Life, Inc., I want to know what that's all about, and we'll do that quickly on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again, flying solo this week. Special guest, he's been a good one. This has been a really, really good show. Rocky Coyle, former pro baseball player, also works with Tom Roy and the guys over at UPI. Hey, Rocky, earlier in the show, you talked about a nonprofit that you do, For Life, the number 4, lifeinc.org. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It started probably about almost 20 years ago, and what we do camps and we do speaking, we try to do scholarships, and we do outreaches. You know, we work through churches, through local organizations, and you know, we try to do camps for kids of all ages, and you know, we try to do the physical, emotional, and spiritual mentoring kids. And so we try to go where kids are, and we do camps, and we have different, you know, things that, you know, if we go to the website, you can see. But a lot of it is, you know, I like to go out and do speaking places, and we also have scholarships, and then the camps are really a great outreach. And also it's really focused on teaching too. So it's all about mentoring and helping kids, you know, and after school and things like that also with their schoolwork.
Hey,
so
if I brought you up to Milwaukee, can you get me to hit a softball a little bit better in the church softball league?
Oh, I can get you to hit.
Hey, man, I'm 58 years old. I can't hit a gap anymore. All I'm trying to do, and I'm a right-handed hitter. I'm trying to hit the right field line so it can hit chalk and kind of go to the right so I can try to get to second base.
We'll get you, man. We'll get it so hard you won't have to run hard in second. We'll get you.
Two quick questions before we go. You talked about spending a lot of time in Alabama. So War Eagle or Roll Tide?
Well, I'm not going to go there, man. I live here in North Carolina. They try to get you Duke or Carolina. I always give Auburn people a hard time just because I like to. I always told them that when I was growing up, the only thing I ever thought of when they said football in Alabama was a guy named Paul Bear Bryant. And the hounds, you know, the hat and all that. They just go, no, it's like, I never heard of Auburn. So if you're going to talk about the state of Alabama, I know Auburn fans are going to go crazy. But it's hard to root for either one. It's so crazy there that when they win it, whoever wins the game on the top of their house for Christmas, they put the score.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not kidding. And it's a true story.
Where you are now, and we had this conversation, Chuck Sullivan, the general manager here, he is a North Carolina Tar Heel through and through. He doesn't want you to say the word Duke. He doesn't want to say to Coach K. He don't want to hear anything. In fact, about twice a week, he walks past my desk and he says, hey, by the way, the Tar Heels are still the national champions.
They are.
And I go, I know. Why do you, what? I know that. He goes, I just wanted to remind you, Coach, that the Tar Heels are still the national champs. I said, I know. He understands all that, and he is just such a North Carolina Tar Heel guy. He doesn't want Duke to ever win a game.
That's right. He doesn't. I mean, I have one of my little girls, Chi-Chi. She's hilarious. She became a UNC fan because she said, I want the sweatshirt that has the pretzel on it. And I said, the pretzel? And then I looked, it was the logo for UNC, looks like a pretzel. And so I had a UNC guy who's really hardcore. He goes, hey, whatever way we get them, we'll take them.
Yep.
And I took her to the Wake Forest game the other day, and she loved it, you know, so we had a blast. And so, yeah, it's serious here. People don't realize in Wisconsin and other places, they kind of do, but you don't. If you ever lived in Alabama or you lived in North Carolina, this stuff is serious, man. It's fighting. Those are fighting words.
Hey, Allie Buckner, who's my direct boss, she's a sales manager here. Her husband went to Auburn. And we had this conversation this morning, and she said, you don't understand. It's War Eagle in my house here in Wisconsin. Wherever we move to, it's War Eagle. And Roll Tide, she said, I spent a lot of time in Alabama, so did we want Alabama to beat Georgia? Yeah, maybe, but probably not. If you ask my husband who graduated from Auburn, he probably does not want Alabama to win the national championship.
They don't. It's just like when the ball went in and out against Duke. Oh, every Carolina was on the edge of their seat hoping that went in. I'm telling you, man, it's like that. It's serious, man. It's crazy.
It's fun stuff.
I saw the sidelines for an Alabama-Notre Dame game when I was in football, and oh, my goodness. I saw the Alabama fans, and they are serious stuff. They hate Notre Dame. So,
it's awesome.
73.
And they still hold a grudge. Still hold a crutch. Hey,
go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I got to wrap this up. I just want people to know, if you get a chance, 4Life, the number 4LifeInc.org. If you want to take a look at what Rocky, his nonprofit organization is, I would highly recommend AbbaFund.org as well. It is an organization go ahead.
We'll come speak. You know, I'll come speak, my wife and I, about adoption. Or, you know, I'll come speak through your groups or whatever, you know. So, we do that, too. So.
Yeah, I would I'd love to get you up to Wisconsin. And, maybe we go to the batting cages. I'll show you how I'm totally kidding. He is Rocky Coyle. Again, abbafund.org, the number 4LifeInc.org. You know, last thing to say to you, your father must be awfully proud of you right now, Rocky, I'm telling you.
My dad... You know, when I got out of pro baseball, I called him up and I told him I was leaving, and he told me, he said, son, he goes, you remember that day in Little League when you struck out? And I just smiled and I go, yeah, I remember. And he goes, I'm as proud of you today as I was then, and I'll always be proud of you. And we talk every day. He's in Phoenix, Arizona. He's 82 years old. He works at the rescue mission. He feeds people. He works at the foster care home, and he also helps prisoners with their transition back into society, and he teaches a widow's Bible study. He says to elderly women, and he's 82. And my mom passed away from breast cancer a few years ago. My dad is in ministry now, and he's a wonderful guy. He lives out there in Phoenix and plays golf once a week. He's a great guy.
That's awesome. So, Rocky, we got to wrap this up. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work, brother. Again, he is Rocky Coyle. Thanks for listening. Thanks. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcast, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.